Open it to a passage in the New Testament, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and then one over in the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 23, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in the New Testament, Leviticus 23 in the Old Testament. Man, I hope you prayed for the service today, and I hope you prayed and asked God to, you know, you ought to come to church expecting God to speak to you and asking Him to do it, all right? When I'm preaching this morning what I believe God wants me to preach, okay? I believe it, and I believe there is a message for you, okay? There is a message for you. Now, we're a diverse bunch. Got all kinds of, got different ages, people at different stages in life, you know, and you have different problems. Everybody here doesn't deal with the same problem. We've got some that are dealing with sickness. I'm sure in this day and age, we've got some that are dealing with financial difficulties because that is part of it, all right? By the way, somebody left a couple of boxes of food outside the church door, I think on Wednesday night, and some of it is still here. That's why you come on Wednesday night. You get the first pick, okay, out of what was left. And but there's still some back there. It's on a box on the desk in the foyer. It's there. Take a look at it. If you like cornflakes, there's cornflakes. I know there's a big bag of that. When my kids were growing up, they used to eat Cinnamon Toast Crunch cereal. Well, there is a bag of Cinnamon Toast cereal out there. So, yeah, just, you know, avail yourself of it. There's a taco kit, I guess. Just taco shells and taco seasoning, you know. It's there. You say, first come, first serve. Now, don't leave during the preaching to go look, all right? But after service is over, go by there. There's two bags. I know there's two bags of oats, all right, and you to make oatmeal. Now, you are welcome to that. I despise oatmeal, all right? I never did like oatmeal, you know, and I know they push it nowadays. Doctors push oatmeal. It's good for you, good for you. Now, I think this. Horses eat oats, right? A horse is old at 30. I just want to put that out there for you, okay? They're old at 30, all right? So now you eat them if you want them, okay? I was just kidding, but I never did like oatmeal, and they served it to me when I was a kid at home, and they'd you know, try to make it better. They'd put cinnamon in it and other junk and butter, and I don't care what you did to it, I never enjoyed it. Yeah, you're with me, all right? Yeah. I was glad when they decided at my house we could have eggs and bacon or sausage and biscuits and gravy and healthy stuff. Well, maybe not healthy stuff, all right? But, hey, the jury's out on that. But anyway, I'm glad they changed. But I'm mainly saying it to say this too. There's food back there in that box. Please look. And if you can use it, take it, all right? Take it. You say, well, somebody else may need it more than I do. I don't know. I just know it's back there, and you're welcome to take a look. And if you can use it, avail yourself of it, and take it home. And no shame. It's a blessing, you know. Amen. Trust me, if there was a bag of chocolate chip cookies, I'd have already had it, okay? Yeah, it wouldn't be there, all right? And We had this discussion between Sunday school and church in the office about Oreo cookies and chocolate chip cookies. And, you know, hey, now, if you like Oreo cookies, go for it. I like chocolate chip cookies. I like chocolate chunk cookies. I'll be honest with you. You can keep the cookie and just give me the chocolate, all right? I like chocolate. But anyhow, just avail yourself of that, all right? All right, everybody with us, 1 Corinthians, everybody had time to find the scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you would. Now, we'll be in Leviticus in a moment. Don't lose your place in 1 Corinthians when we go to Leviticus, all right? At the end of the service, we're going to be back in 1 Corinthians, okay? And by the way, we're going to go to some other scripture along the way. But if you will, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. The Bible said, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." Drop down to verse 23. "But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming." I've been trying to preach to you from the scriptures, from the different names that are given to the Lord Jesus Christ. And another wonderful name that is given to him is right here in this passage. It says he's become the first fruits. The first fruits. Now that's a name that maybe we don't often think of. It's not as well known as he is the Good Shepherd, all right? Or he is the Prince of Peace. He's the King of Kings. Those names, Wonderful, Counselor, those are more well known. But hey, this name, First Fruits, is a wonderful name, and it comes from one of the names of the feast that Israel celebrated in Old Testament times, and that is the Feast of First Fruits. Look, all the feasts that are in the Old Testament that the Israelis partook of, all of them forecast and took a look forward at the Lord Jesus Christ. All of them did. So look back in Leviticus chapter 23. Here's the first mention of the Feast of First Fruits, verse 10 in your Bible. Leviticus 23, verse 10. "Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it." Hey, the purpose of that feast was to acknowledge, if you will, the fertility of the land that God had given to them, the land of promise that God had given to the nation of Israel. And during that feast, the people would bring of their crops, all right, and bring them and offer them to the Lord, the first or the very best, if you will, choices of their early crops. And this was done before they could enjoy the harvest God gave them, all right? So we look at this first fruits. The Lord, the Bible says Christ has become the first fruits. Would you think with me about that just a little bit this morning, all right? That first fruit speaks of preciousness and purity. Preciousness and purity. It was precious because it was valuable. And it was valuable because it was the best of what was harvested. All right, I mean, whether it be fruit, it be grain, it be flour, it be bread, it be figs, it be oil, it be wool, from the first shearing of the sheep, it was that first part, that best, and it was a pure. Hey, look, that describes the Lord Jesus Christ perfectly. The Lord Jesus Christ, man, speaks of purity. None was more pure than he was. The Bible said he was without sin. And I told you we'd turn to some other scriptures. Turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 7, would you? Hebrews chapter 7. When we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, we're talking about the one who he's the definition of purity, if you will. Hebrews chapter 7. And if you will, look at verse 26. Notice what this verse says, speaking of Christ. It says, "For such an high priest became us," notice, "who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." We say, what do you mean is separate from sinners? Well, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 says, "In all points he was tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Without sin. Hey, there is no sin in being tempted. There's no sin in being tempted. We will be tempted. You will be tempted. You can count on it. Sin comes in when we yield to the temptation. That's when it becomes sin. But the Bible says the Lord, he was tempted in all points just like us, yet without sin, his purity. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin." Hey, he took our sin upon him when he was nailed to the cross. He became sin for us, yet he himself knew no sin, knew no sin. Now, I submit to you, it boggles my mind to think of that. Hey, I'm a human just like you are. Okay, I'm just as you are not perfect, neither am I perfect. Okay, don't come and say, preacher, we're looking to you to lead us and show us, and you're perfect. No, I'm not. I'm a sinner, saved by grace, okay? But I'm still a sinner. Still have to deal with this old body of flesh. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ lived in a body of flesh, but without sin. Perfect purity. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22, talking of him, says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He did no sin. He did no sin. All those years he was here on this earth, tempted by Satan, never yielded, never gave in, never sinned. I think of the times he was provoked by the Pharisees. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the easiest ways to get people to sin is to get them mad. Because we do things when we're mad that we wouldn't do if we weren't mad. But yet I think of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was here on this earth. Man, how the Pharisees provoked him. And he was angry, but he didn't sin. He didn't sin, all right? Oh, precious, precious. The first fruits speak of preciousness. He was precious because there's none like him. You talk about a one of a kind? One of a kind. None like him. None like him. He was the only begotten Son of God. The only begotten Son of God. The only one who could pay the price for our sin. The only one that could go to the cross, take our place. Take our place. Now, you could say, well, I'll die for somebody. You could, but you couldn't pay their sin debt. You couldn't pay their sin debt. You can't do it. You see, I couldn't pay anybody's sin debt, because I'm a sinner. It took the precious, spotless Lamb of God to go to the cross, be that first fruits to pay our sin debt. Hey, the first fruits has to do and speaks of purity and preciousness. The first fruits also has to do with priorities. As the very name implies, first fruits. All right, the first fruits. These, that they were the priority in giving to God. In the Old Testament day, in that time, none of the harvest was to be used until the first fruits had been offered to God. None of it. You didn't use it. You didn't partake of it. If you'll even make it, let me make it this simple, you didn't go to an apple tree if they had apple trees. You didn't go to the apple tree and pull the apple off the tree and take a bite, no sir, until the first fruits had been offered to God. The first fruits had to be offered to him first. The priority that there is in that first fruits. With Jesus Christ, he showed that to us. Take your Bible, let's go to John chapter 4, would you? The Gospel of John chapter 4. He pictured that priority. He was the first fruits, and he pictured that priority in his doing the will of God, all right? In his doing the will of God. In John chapter 4 and verse 34, we find the Lord Jesus Christ saying this. John 4 verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Look in John chapter 6, just maybe a couple of pages over. John chapter 6, if you will, and look down in verse 38. Verse 38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Hey, the whole priority of the life of Jesus Christ was to do the will of God. To do the will of God. And when we talk about him being the first fruits, it is that picture of priority
the priority of doing the will of God. Now, folks, look, we're to follow his example. We're to follow his example. Well, we like to do things by example, all right? I don't know about you, but I minored in math in college. Any other math minors here? Anybody major in math? I'm not going to ask you how many of you hated math, all right? I know I'd see a lot of hands, you know. Yeah, my daughter-in-law, she was one that I had to work with in math, okay? Hey, listen, but I'll tell you this. Even when I was in college, I could open the math textbook up and read it, and it didn't do a lot for me. But if I could get that professor, if I could get that teacher to go to the blackboard, or in our day, the whiteboard, okay, you know, but go and put an example on the board and work through that example, and I could see how they did it, then I go, okay, I understand what we're doing. I understand what we're doing. Well, look, the Lord Jesus Christ, our example, he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. That's my meat. That's it. Look, that was his priority. We're to follow his example. We're to do his will. We're to do his will. You said, to what extent? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, a well-known verse in the Word of God. But here's the example. Here's what it is. The Bible says, but seek ye first. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Here's our problem. We've got it upside down and backwards. We're seeking all these things. We're trying to get a grasp on all the things. Well, the Bible said we'll seek him first. He'll take care of the things. If we'd put him first. We'd put him first in our life. If he would become the priority, his will would become our priority. Lord, I seek to do your will, not my will, but thy will be done. If we'd put our life that way and live it on that plane, seeking to please him first of all, it is amazing what God could turn and do for us if we just put him first. Put him first. But most people don't do it. We got it backwards. We've got it backwards. The last thing we think about is what God wants. Because we're busy grasping for all the things. We get attracted by things. You know? We get attracted by them. And we look for them. But if we just learn to put him first. The psalmist said it this way in Psalm 40, verse 8. He said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. I delight to do thy will. Boy, can you say that? I delight to do thy will. Hey, I don't know about you, but that's why I'm at church this morning. Yeah. Now, he said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. It's the will of God for the child of God to be in the house of God. We're to be here, okay? That is the will of God. But man, I delight in doing that. I did not get up this morning. To be honest with you, had I not been coming to church today, I'd have stayed in bed longer. I'd have just stayed in bed longer. I've been out of town for a few days. I was up visiting my daughter and went up there for Molly Lemon's graduation from Bible College. She graduated from our Christian school, and I went up there to see her graduate from Bible College, and we stayed with my daughter for a couple of days after that, and we slept in their bed. I'll tell you, their bed's not as good as my bed. Now, their mattress is newer. But there's just something about your own bed. You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, you understand that. I was at home last night, first night we've been at home several nights, in my bed. This morning I woke up. If I wasn't going to church, I'd have stayed in bed. I'd have stayed in bed a little bit longer. I'd have just stayed there. It was enjoyable, okay? I was talking to my wife, you know, and she said, I'm getting up. I just kept waiting. I'm going to get up, okay? She didn't get up, you know. I'd begin to worry about breakfast, to be honest there. You know. But finally we did, all right. But hey, why? Well, the priority is to be in the house of God. Why, it's the will of God. Man, I enjoy being with God's people.
You say, well, you're the preacher.
I'd enjoy it if I wasn't preaching, okay? I can enjoy sitting out there where you are, amen, and the guy that is preaching. And when I can't say amen, I can say, oh, me, all right? But enjoy being there. The priority. Boy, if we could all say, I delight to do thy will, oh, my God. Oh, how a blessing it would be, putting him first. Look at a verse there in Proverbs, would you? Proverbs chapter 3. There in the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 3. I want to read a couple of verses for you. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Here's what the Bible says. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. He said, preacher, I knew when you started talking about first fruits, you was going to talk about giving. Well, good, I won't disappoint you, all right? Notice he said in verse 10, if you'll do that, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Why? If we'll just put him first, it brings the blessing of God. Brings the blessing of God. Listen, I've preached to you on giving, and I continue to do it, and I'll say it again, what I always say. The reason I preach to you about giving is because I want God to bless you. Giving brings the blessing of God. Putting him first brings the blessing of God. That's in everything. Your finances, your relationships, everything. I mean, we just go down the line. You pick anything you want. You put him first. And you'll honor him first in that. You'll be amazed at the blessing of God that will fall upon you. All right? And it just, we'll say, preacher, explain it. I can't. I tell people all the time when I'm visiting, I said, if you'd get and come into church and you'd be faithful to be in church, you'd be amazed at what a difference it'll make for you. Now, I can't tell you how it'll be, and I can't describe it, but I'm telling you it'll make a difference. You just learn to do it. And it does. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you live. Don't care how you live. The more you take of what God gives you, the better off it'll be. The better off it'll be. Some people sip at the cup from God because it's like, I just can't take too much. Oh, man, I found the more I'll give him, oh, how he blesses. How he blesses. And not just financially. Financially is part of it, yes. But, hey, our love for him is to be first. We're to love him more than we love anything or anyone else, all right? That is a scriptural admonition from God. Amen. Colossians 1:18 says that he might have the preeminence in all things. In all things. That he might have the preeminence. First place. That's those first fruits. Jesus Christ, the first fruits. Hey, that first fruits offering is an acknowledgement of God's ownership and God's power. You say, what do you mean by that? Here's what I mean. Look, God owns it all. God owns it all. Just be honest with you. He owns it all. The Bible said he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Some country preacher said, and the taters in the hills. All right? God owns it all. He does. And God blesses us, okay? God blesses us. You are blessed. You say, preacher, I just want you to know I work for every dime I get. Well, I just want you to know all God has to do is take his hand off, and you won't even be able to get out of bed tomorrow. You won't be able to get up. Hey, listen, God blesses you, and he gives to you, all right? When we give our tithe, when we come back and give to God, we're simply giving God what belongs to him. And when they gave the first fruits in that Old Testament, they were acknowledging that God had given it to them. Psalm 68:19 says, he daily loadeth us with benefits. He daily loadeth us with benefits. That's it. Every day. Amen. Every day. When you took that new job, what's the benefits? What are the benefits? Well, I'll tell you, the benefits of serving God is a daily thing. I'm not serving God for the retirement program. Now, he's got a wonderful retirement program, all right? Wonderful retirement program. Brother Marion sang that song, "What a day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no more pain, no more parting over there. And forever I'll be with the one who died for me." That's the retirement program. But he daily loadeth us with benefits. Daily. You say, "Preacher, I don't seem to be getting it." Well, maybe you hadn't given him the first fruits, all right? Maybe you've missed your part, all right? Man, I tell you, God's just good every day. Every day he's good, and he daily loadeth us with benefits. Hey, it was an acknowledgement when they would give that first fruit offering. It was an acknowledgement of God's power and God's ownership, but it was with the realization, hey, I can give this because I know he's going to give more. I know he's going to give more. They'd bring that first fruits offering knowing that there was more coming from him. Hey, it's an acknowledgement of God's power. I promise you, every time the offering plate comes in, I've told you, every time the offering plate is passed, wherever I am, I try to put in something. Wherever I'm at. I mean, they took offerings. I was at Southwest Baptist Church in Oklahoma City on Wednesday night. They passed the offering plate. I gave. I've never been to before. I cannot remember being at a graduation service where they passed an offering plate. But it was Baptist, so it wasn't a surprise, all right? And they passed an offering plate at the graduation. I thought, I didn't come to give. I came to see that person graduate. No, I said, well, they're passing the plate. I'm giving. So I put something in. Put something in. Why? Because I know God will give it back. I know God will give it back. I know he's going to provide. Hey, that first fruits offering, it is an acknowledgement that, hey, God, you're so powerful. I know you're going to provide for me. You're going to give back to me. If you still have your Bible open in Proverbs, turn a little further to the back. Go past Jeremiah and get to the book of Lamentations, all right? The book of Lamentations, a little short book squeezed in between Jeremiah and Ezekiel, all right? A little small book between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Look, I want to read these verses to you. If you got your Bible open, you can follow along, all right? Verse 22 and verse 23, and I want you to pay attention. These verses, they're still true. They're still true. All right? It is of the Lord's mercies. This Lamentations 3:22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh, that's true of God. That's true of God, all right? Hey, we can count on him. We bring of the first fruits because why? Because I know there's more coming. I know there's more coming. I know it'll happen. I know he's going to take care of me. He daily loadeth us with benefits. His mercies fail not, all right? And it's because of his mercies that we're not consumed. Look, I already said to you, we're sinners. There's not a one of us here this morning that hasn't greatly disappointed our God. Not a one of us. But his compassions fail not. Oh, what a good thing. If it wasn't for that, he'd have killed us a long time ago. But his compassions fail not. Merciful God. You can count on it. Boy, we don't get what we deserve. The Lord is so good. Hey, those mercies, they're new every morning. Every morning. Isn't that a blessing? God's still able and willing to take care of you and me. He's still willing. He's still able to do it. Yep, the first fruits. They do. They speak of the purity and the preciousness of God. They speak of priorities. They acknowledge the ownership of God and His power. Oh, but wait a minute. Go back with me. I told you we'd wind up where we started. All right? Would you turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What a wonderful, wonderful promise that we have. And that's the first fruit speak of that promise. You back there where we started, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. Let's read it again. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, he's the man, it's through him death came. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. It's through Christ that we get the resurrection from the dead. But here it is, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Let me remind you, the first fruits of the Israelites was the finest from their harvest. It was the best. It was the very best. That's what God gave when He gave His Son for us. He gave His best. He gave His best. That Son was resurrected from the dead. And as these scriptures said, His resurrection was just the first fruits of the resurrection. All right? The first fruit. Now, God gives us a word picture so we can grasp what's coming. And it is a picture of the harvest. If you have ever had a garden of any kind, if all you did was planted one, maybe pepper plant, or one tomato plant, if you've ever had any kind of gardening experience whatsoever, the first fruits is that you're looking for with great anticipation. Because you've planted it, you've tilled the soil, you've watered it, you've fertilized, you've done everything to encourage the growth of that plant, not because you love to see stalks and leaves. But you wanted to eat of the fruit. And you did everything you could. And you got excited when you said, "Hey, it's blooming. There's blooms on that." You remember tomato plants. We get excited. Boy, that thing's just covered with blooms. Why? Well, that tells us it's going to put out some tomatoes. All right? And what you'd go look. And you look, hey, there it is. It's growing. You begin to see that little bitty tomato, green, tiny, and you watched it. And you watered it more faithfully. And you watched it grow. And you watched it as it began to turn from that just green. You began to watch it as it turned and began to turn red, maybe, and all that color began to come into it. And then you watched it and you thought, okay. And it was that first one. Now, there were maybe other blooms and there were other little bitty tomatoes, but you were watching that first one. And it was hard to wait. You wanted to pick it, okay? You wanted to pick it. You got out there and you said, "No, just one more day. One more day and it will be perfect." You go out there the next day. And the birds eat it, right? Maybe not, okay? But you understand the picture. You're looking forward to picking that first fruit. You're looking forward to the first one that comes. Now, it is not the harvest. It's the first fruits. The Bible tells us Jesus Christ was the first fruits of the resurrection. But what we're looking for, when you plant, You look forward to the first fruits, but the truth of the matter is you're looking forward to the harvest time. I mean, when the plants load up and it seems like, bam, it's all ripe at once and you got to get out there. If you don't get out there and get it picked, it'll spoil. You go after it, right? You go after it and you're picking and everything, and maybe you do the canning or the freezing or all that, but you're looking forward. That is the great harvest where all of it comes in. Hey, he's the first fruits of the resurrection. That resurrection that we're talking about is the hope for the child of God. It's a hope for the child of God. The Bible said the dead in Christ shall rise first. Notice what it says there. Still have your Bible open there in 1 Corinthians 15. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ, notice, at His coming. Hey, I'll tell you what, the child of God, we long and yearn for the coming of the Lord. We look forward to that. Boy, the closer relationship you have with God, the more you look forward to His return. And we even begin to pray, even so come, Lord Jesus. Even so come, Lord Jesus. I'm ready. Oh, I'd love for Him to come today. I'd love for the trumpet to sound today. The dead in Christ rise first. That's the resurrection, all right? He was the first fruits, but we look forward to that great harvest and when all the dead in Christ shall rise. That's the resurrection, all right? He's the first fruits, but there's so much promise in that. I've been out to the cemetery countless numbers of times. I've known for a long time I'd be preaching Miss Fondon's funeral, Cheryl's mom. And I knew the time was close. I began working on the message to give at her funeral. We'll go there down in East Texas later this week and be there and have the funeral service. But what a blessing it would be. Now, it'd scare the fire out of all of us. But what a blessing it would be if we're standing there at that graveside and the trump of God sound. And here's Miss Fondon back to life. Oh, yeah. That means over here in Mount Olivet Cemetery, my mom and my dad back to life. My aunt and my uncle back to life. Oh, Brother Dennis Lockhart. Brother Dennis Lockhart's buried out there in that cemetery too. And I could go on and on. There's multiple people that out of this church buried there. And then I think of other cemeteries around here, other members that, man, have gone to a funeral. Many of them I preached the funeral and stood by as we said goodbye, but not forever, but just a so long. Why? Because of the promise of the resurrection. He's the first fruits. But hey, they that are Christ at His coming. We're looking to that great harvest of the resurrection when the dead in Christ shall rise. Now, if you're saved, you've been sitting there thinking of your loved ones. You hadn't been thinking about my mom and dad. You may be thinking about your mom and dad. Maybe a child. Maybe a brother or sister. Aunt or uncle, grandparents. They're on your mind. Hey, they're saved. They were saved. When Christ comes back, they're going to be resurrected. Christ was simply the first fruits. My friend, don't tell you, he gives us such a great promise. Such a great promise. Can I ask you this? He is the first fruits. Is He precious to you? Is He really precious to you? Is He your priority? Or is it your career? Is it something else? Is He your priority? Is He your priority? Do you offer Him the first fruits of your life? Do you give it to Him? Are you storing it away? Listen, I'll tell you. He is the first fruits. What a promise He gives if you belong to Him, if you're His child, There are so many promises. His mercies are new every day. We ought to delight to do His will. He ought to be the priority. But is He? Is He? Is He? Hey, that's up to you. He's done it all for us. But what if we turned around and given back to Him? Oh, He is the first fruits. He is the first fruits. But is He precious to you? Is He your priority? Is He first in your life? Well, if you've put Him there, you know what it is to get the blessing of God. You know what it is to enjoy the blessing of God. But if you haven't, everything, a lot of what I've said this morning, you've thought, are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. I can testify to it from personal experience. The goodness of God, the blessing of God, the promise of God. He is the first fruits, but is He precious to you? Have you trusted Him as your Savior? Have you called upon Him and asked Him to save your soul? See the priority of your life. Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning? Our Heavenly Father, we come to You today because we need You.